water in very uncertain times. I'm Alex Ansari, delivering you the Wednesday edition of Outside the Box, coming to you live January 7th, 2009 on oraclebroadcasting.com, justin.tv/AlexAnsari, and of course my own personal website, alexansari.com. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. A lot of phone calls, hopefully, we're going to be taking at 866-841-1065. That's 866-841-1065. That is the international number, and it's fairly accessible, from what I understand, to people even listening in the UK. Now, if you're in Texas or you're in the United States, if you're going to use your cell phone, you can also use the regular line at 512-904-8014, 512-904-8014. We just had that switched over just last week. We can talk about Gaza today. We can talk about their phony ceasefire and also how Israel broke the ceasefire. We can talk about anything you would like to talk about. I'll also talk about some things that, of course, I want to talk about because, of course, it is my show, but everyone is welcome. We had a caller yesterday. She mentioned that on some shows she doesn't feel welcome, and perhaps in previous shows, or at least on my TV show, maybe I have made other people feel the same way. On the radio show, though, it's a little different than the TV show. We have 2 hours. We don't have 1 hour, and we also have the right space to have a deeper conversation about some of the solutions and some of the things going on, because I'm here 5 days a week instead of 1 day a week. And when I'm only coming to a spot 1 day a week, like I am with the Access show, and I only have 1 hour, I'm literally trying to consolidate the top news of the week. And so I don't have as much time for chit-chat. Like tomorrow's the show, and I haven't had a live show in about 3 weeks on Access TV, PCM. And so I'm looking forward to that. I have a guest coming up tomorrow. He is the guy that was on Coast to Coast last week. I believe his name is, I'm actually going to look that up right now, Matthew Stein. His website is whentechnologyfails.com. So tomorrow we'll be talking about preparedness on the television program. You'll be able to find that, those listening on Oracle, at alexansari.com by the weekend, posted under the video section on the right side of the website. Now let's begin going over a couple headlines, beginning with this interesting one. Obama is meeting with four presidents at the White House, four political criminals, I would rather say, or perhaps we can also define them as four former political puppets. That would be a better accurate description of this meeting taking place. Obama kicks it with some of the country's previous puppets. He met with what looks like Jimmy Carter, George W. Bush, his father, and, of course, Bill Clinton. And I know a lot of people love Jimmy Carter. They think that he was God's gift to humanity, the loving liberal. He was also a member of the Trilateral Commission, in case we all forgot that detail. He also worked with another favorite of ours, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was the National Security Advisor at the time. So that's in the news. We have that up at alexansari.com. Obama to kick it with the homies, four political criminals at the White House. And we have a beautiful picture here. We have George Bush Sr., Magog, on the left of Obama, who's got such a beautiful smile on his face. You've got George W. Bush in the middle, looking, I'm a gangster, yeah. And then we got Bill Clinton over here, just to the left of him. Blue jobs are so much better these days. I get to get real nasty now that I'm not in the White House. And then we've got Jimmy Carter to the left of him, and he's just got this look on his face saying, if only the American people knew who I really worked for, oh, they would shoot me as soon as they could find a gun. Not that we're recommending that, we're not. We're just pointing out the strange reality that we're living in. Again, I've also mentioned that there's going to be a Masonic inaugural ball to be held for Obama. He does stand with Israel. We know this by now. He's being, frankly, called a number of names by people around the world. Slave to Israel is one of them. I can tell you now that we've got video. We have video, ladies and gentlemen, of a former Israeli Defense Forces officer, general, I believe, discussing how Barack Obama is a slave to Israel and what is, frankly, taking place right now is going to put Israel at jeopardy. So he makes the point clear, he's not a traitor to his country, he stands with Jews, as a Jew, he's saying that the leadership in Israel today is placing their own safety and jeopardy at risk by doing exactly what they're doing, which is nothing short of a cold, callous war, targeting civilians, children, women, using all types of weapons, white phosphorus, weapons that can blow the human body apart into pieces. Inhumane. We're talking about total genocide. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and listen to that clip. And again, take your phone calls on this issue. Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling confused as to what to do with all your energy? Are you feeling frustrated because you know all this stuff, but you don't know what to do with it, but you're on the cusp of an epiphany, and you're just waiting for the moment where you find it yourself. And I have someone else tell you what the answers are, but that moment where you know what you have to do. All right, we'll listen to this clip, and we'll be back in a few minutes. And again, those numbers, 866-841-1065 and 512-904-8014.
I'm very sad to say that if Obama will go into the White House and continue to act like a slave, and not like a leader, I don't see any change coming. If he continues to play golf and act like a slave, forced by AIPAC or any other interests in and lobbyists in Washington, and if he continues to not to talk about the horrible crime that's happening in my country now, I don't see any change coming to the world.
I've no idea how the government reacts to what you say on international media like this, but what do you say to those accusations that there will be, that you're a traitor, in effect, to Israel, that you're showing treachery, perhaps treason, in voicing the view that you've just voiced?
I risked my life for many years as a captain and an operation leader of operations in the Israeli Air Force. I worked with Israeli terror victims for many years. I know from a very close distance the pain of the Israeli people, as well the Palestinian people. So no one can call me or the thousands of members of the anti-occupation movement in Israel that we are traitors. In contrary, we are patriots. We want our people to continue to exist, and we see our leaders' actions as a self-destruction policies that puts in a great danger the future of all of us. And we want to simply, as I'm telling it to you, as a rescue pilot, as a former rescue pilot in the Israeli Air Force, this is the most important rescue mission I can take upon myself to save the people here, whether they are Israelis, Palestinians, Jews, Muslims, Christians, and we all know that the situation in the Middle East affects the whole world, and it could be as easy as that this kind of conflict can escalate to a world war. We don't forget the forces in the other places in the Middle East. The tension between Iran and the United States, other countries. We are in a great danger now, and if people want to help me as an Israeli and as a Jew, they have to put massive pressure on the Israeli government for ceasefire right now. Right now, we need a ceasefire. We need to be forced to sit and negotiate with the Hamas. We have no other legitimate action but sitting and negotiating now with Hamas and with the Arab world. Don't forget that we have the Arab Initiative. Mm-hmm. For many years by now, Arab initiatives say that they offer complete peace and normalization if Israel withdraw to the 1967 borders. As an Israeli, this is my interest.
Okay.
To have peace with the Palestinians and all the Arab world, and my government ignore this request for many years.
All right.
So this is my request.
Jonathan Chapira, thank you very much indeed for your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, now continuing on here with the rest of the news. Over 41 dead as a result of the attack on the school. Official press release from Israel says that it was started by Hamas, or that they attacked the school because they were shot at first. One or the other. Question is, can we believe them? And the answer is, absolutely not. So now people are talking about a phony ceasefire. Optimism over Gaza ceasefire plan. That's the headline that reads from the BBC. And in that report, you're going to hear more propaganda. Israel has agreed on the principles of a ceasefire proposal, raising hopes of an end to its conflict with Palestinian militants in Gaza. The challenge now is to get the details to match the principles, according to the spokesman for Israel, Mark Regev. Palestinian militant group, Hamas, so there were positive signs, but no agreement yet. The development came as Israel halted military operations in Gaza for 3 hours to aid humanitarian efforts. And everything I read, everything I see, every article, unless it's an alternative one, is written, I don't even know how to even describe this. Licking the boots of Israel. Every report, Oregonian, BBC, Fox News, CNN. So it takes some serious work to cut through the BS. Globalresearch.ca. A lot of information over there right now on Gaza. And, of course, roguegovernment.com and some other websites, many other websites that are tracking all of the latest developments coming out of Gaza.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
My email is alex_answeri@hotmail.com. If you want to go ahead and send me what you think is one of the best videos depicting the violence, the bloodshed, the genocide taking place in Gaza, go ahead and do that. I want to play a clip of it tomorrow if I can get one of my volunteers to burn it onto a DVD so I can play it during the live show tomorrow. I know Lee Rogers sent me one a couple days ago that I was looking at that didn't even have any commentary at all saying what was happening. Because it was obvious what was happening. You were seeing all the action taking place before your very eyes, the killings, and again, a third of the dead are children. A third of the dead are children. 5 Israelis are dead, 4 from friendly fire. Overall, 600 Gazans are dead. They opened it up a little bit for aid, the Israelis did, only to close it back down and resume fighting. Not much of a ceasefire, they just call it one. And we see doctors being prevented from entering Gaza near the border with Egypt. The BBC is blocking public outrage over Gaza. There are protests all around the world, even in Toronto, Canada. And Obama is golfing. As the caller made the point that I even make yesterday, which I've heard some other people talk about, Obama golfing. I see these articles, Obama golfing. Obama to increase spy on us. Obama to aid martial law plans in the U.S. Obama hanging out with four original gangsters, four political criminals, four presidents in the White House. Obama picking Monsanto people to head our agricultural department. Obama picking Federal Reserve people to run our Treasury the Treasury Department. I mean, it's so insane. It's asinine. 195 children slaughtered by Israel in ambush. Let's see. Reports indicate that 13 Palestinians from the same family were killed when Israeli forces targeted an eastern Gaza city house. Sorry for pausing as the page loaded up. There's a photo of what looks like a decapitated child's head. Not by sword, but because their body has been exploded, and it looks like it's just a head, if I have that correctly. Or it says underneath, a man tries to pull the body of a child out of the rubble of a house that collapsed after an Israeli missile attack in Gaza City on Tuesday. So I'm going to have to save that. And so this is what we're looking at. Alex_Ansari.com, you'd be doing me a favor if you go ahead and send me that video to my website, to my email. You can find that email at my website. And that is some pretty horrific stuff. I sure have talked a lot about, on previous shows, the psychology of the apathetic ones, the ones that don't see, the ones that don't... And it sure does seem difficult to try to overanalyze them at this point and try to understand why some people don't care and why it's getting easier to look the other way. And I can't help but feel overwhelmed, at least just for a minute here, just a little bit overwhelmed. How do I explain all this stuff? How do I articulate just how evil all this is without being extreme, without being radical? I find myself thinking that I may be appearing radical or extreme to some, which I am. But when it comes down to it, the things I'm saying, it's not even as extreme as it actually is. And there's some things that I discover. I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't even talked about that. Or this massive killing that Blackwater was involved in. So I feel almost unable to fully articulate how bad it really is. Now, you have some people that go, well, why do you talk about all this stuff? We need to be talking about what we can do, and I agree. We just have to continue to plot the tag course of the enemy, and sometimes I think there's some things that need to be talked about that aren't talked about on some of the other shows, although they're doing great work. It's about all of us working together. We're not coming from just one person, and objective people in the movement, patriots, being able to look at a lot of the things that we're saying, what Alex Jones is saying, what Lee Rogers is saying, and... you know, what other people out there on the web are saying. Here we have some of the more experienced ones that have been doing this for years and years and years. Jordan Maxwell, and then we have some of the newer ones, Daniel Esterlin. And you have other people with their perspectives, Michael Tsarian, David Icke, Alan Watt. It's sad to see so many people think that they have to agree with each one of these individuals 100%. I agree with none of these individuals 100%. I agree with most of what some of them say, and then there'll be a part of what they say that I might think is a little bit out there, but it doesn't mean that it discounts everything or all the work that they've done. We have a caller. I'm going to let you on, even though we have a break coming up in about 1 minute's time. How you doing?
Good. Good. Can you hear me, Alex?
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear.
Good
to talk to you today. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I called in about 2 weeks ago, and I had mentioned I was talking a little bit about race, about how the white people in European history were I said that they were forced to engage in a colonization effort because of their economic situation. I don't know if you remember that. It started out. Do you remember that? I called about a week and a half ago or something like that, 2 weeks ago.
Well, I remember that. We were talking about military recruiting goals being met, violent video games, and I think movies as well.
Yeah, I wanted to I wanted to this is kind of like part two of that. I wanted to, you know, explain a little bit further what I meant, or, you know, some of I wanted to add some things to that, and that is that even though the okay, I'll talk after the break.
Sure, that's fine. Well, we will continue this conversation and continue discussing some of the other pieces of news right after this quick, brief break from OracleBroadcasting.com. Stay with us all.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Anyway, Rick, thanks for calling in. What were you discussing before the break?
Oh yes, I was talking about how about the situation throughout history of white people in Europe who engaged in the colonization effort, poor people who were recruited into the armies of England and France and so on, and I said they were forced into it, but I wanted to amend that. I wanted to add something, and that is that there is always a choice. And I wanted to talk about that because, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Alice Haley, the author of Roots, the movie that was done in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you are familiar.
No, I'm not familiar with it at all, no.
Okay, he was a black author in America who wrote a book called Roots and a movie about his slave ancestry. And it was very, very famous in the 70s. And, well, there's also a really, really good book out there that I read called Queen, and I like Alex Haley a lot, and I trust him a lot. He did a lot of research in history, but Queen is about his white ancestry, because he had white ancestry as well, and actually, it was about an Irish man who was fighting against the British. He was a freedom fighter, and his father took the side of the British, and his father was disowning him, and he says to him, "You will never amount to anything." And throughout the book, as you're reading it, this man, his name is Jackson, he comes to America, and as he's advancing up, as he's looking for a career and everything, he opens up a store, and in the back of his mind is always, "You will never amount to anything." He keeps repeating throughout the book. And now there's a man, now there's a president that some patriots really, really like. Some patriots seem to laud Andrew Jackson. Well, in this book by Alex Haley, Andrew Jackson comes barging in to this man's store, and he says, "What are you doing hiring people?" And I quote, "That's nigger work, you know." This is the president, Andrew Jackson. I'm sorry to say that, but I was just quoting Alex Haley in the movie, you know. So he comes to America, and he looks at slaves, and he says, "I will never own slaves. That is a disgusting. You know, system." And he says this to himself, you know, that he's going to do better. Well, he opens up the store, and Andrew Jackson comes barging in, and this is before he's president, and he yells at him and says he should be using slaves to do that. And so in the back of this guy's mind, he says, "You will never amount to anything." He hears his father's words echo again. So what he does is he buys slaves, and then shortly afterwards, he buys overseers or hires overseers, and then before long, he's doing the same thing that he hated. He betrays his own ideology, and the point is that because he wanted to measure up, you know, to his father, he wanted to amount to something. He chose the dark side. He chose the evil, and you know, I know people who work in I've known people throughout the past who worked in the defense industries, and who work for like people that work for like General Atomics and things like that, and you know, it's got to be. My point is, it's got to be a choice somewhere along the line where people who are talented in computer programming, or people who are talented in Linux or in design engineering, have to say to themselves, "I'd rather be homeless than work for the New World Order." You know, it comes to that choice, that the morality, that's keeping your integrity, and so what I'm saying.
I think that's probably why a lot of people that are really intelligent, that have a lot of good morals, that have good hearts, like me, end up working dead-end jobs because you're not going for the gold in the matrix. You're going for the gold somewhere else, and that may not be measured through the financial world, through monetary gain. Doing this show, obviously, isn't for monetary gain, but it requires tremendous amounts of energy and thought. And in ways that the other world that can provide more money to me by far requires really little to no thought. And that's also why I'm not in that world, is because when you're also thinking a lot, it can be detrimental to your workplace when they don't need thinkers. They need people that just obey and don't question abuse, don't question discrimination, don't question period. So looking for the employees that are smart enough to operate the machinery but not smart enough to create a different, a more fair system without flying under the guise of communism or socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, another thing I wanted to say, too, is that, you know, racism was the evil of the European colonization. And it seems that, well, in the mainstream, it seems like racism is dying out because, you know, we have Obama being elected. We have the first Vietnamese senator in Louisiana being elected congressman. And so it's becoming the things that were thinkable back in the 18th century, you know, like kidnapping people and putting them on boats because of the color of their skin are now unthinkable. But it seems like we've traded a new evil for the old one. And the new evil is, you know, there's this talk about MRI scanning in your brain. And this talk about voice-to-skull technology. It's like things that were unthinkable in the 1870s are now thinkable, you see. So we're not really growing. We're just exchanging one evil for the other. You know, good riddance, goodbye racism. I'm glad it's gone, or I'm glad it's going, you know. I'm glad people are getting past that. But let's not, I'm just saying this to the people out there, the audience, let's not exchange the new evil for a new evil for an old one. Let's not replace a just as bad evil for the old one.
Yeah,
we
understand.
Exactly.
Kind of like the phrase, like, there's no choosing between a lesser of two evils because you're still choosing evil. They can just create a greater evil to make that evil, the Obama evil and his cabinet, as being less evil than Bush. Actually, we don't know that yet. Bush kind of, you know, we got to remember he campaigned on the whole, I'm going to use the military properly. I'm not going to, you know, just throw them out into a war. That would be bad for the U.S. He was saying stuff like this in 2000 when he was campaigning.
Yeah.
So we can look back on the tape and see what was said.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I'm glad that Obama got elected over McCain because I think Obama is evil because he's part of the New World Order, but so is McCain. But I think, you know, okay, in the sense that the American people showed that they were willing to vote somebody else in finally at last who is not white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, somebody else different. In that sense, you know, I'm glad, but at the same time, I have to speak the truth. You know, Obama is a pawn of the international bankers. He is working with George Soros. He is part of the New World Order. That's why I voted for the black woman, Cynthia McKinney, you know, because she I voted her because of the character of her personality, what she stands for, her integrity. So, you know, but at the same time, so yeah, I mean, in a sense, that's kind of how I feel. I feel mixed about that. You know what I mean?
Cynthia McKinney in the news last week. The boat she was in was ran by an Israeli gunship. She was in the region over there.
Really?
Working with a humanitarian organization, and they ran her boat a couple times, and this was on CNN. And just like with the war, they go for CNN's version of the whole thing. The Israeli military's version of the whole thing, their version of events. So, yeah, you might want to look that up.
Really?
I also forgot about that. Yeah, I don't have it on my website right now, but you can Google that.
Thank you for telling me that. Last time I heard, she was not allowed out of the country. She was going to go to Damascus to speak for the Palestinian human rights issue. And they wouldn't let her board the plane, you know, she was on some kind of terror watch list or something. But I guess she finally got out of the country and got over there. But she never ceases to be in the news. She's always, she really is a rabble-rouser. You know, she really, really goes out there and puts herself on the line. And, you know, I admire her greatly. And, you know, she always gets herself into trouble fighting the New World Order.
Yeah, she does. Well, we have a break. Thank you very much for calling. Thanks for trying to add something to the program. That is appreciated. It is appreciated, Rick.
Right.
We'll be back. 866-841-1065, whoever else wants to.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
And welcome back to the broadcast. I'm your host, Alex Ansari, again with you for the next hour right here on OracleBroadcasting.com. Toll-free number, 866-841-1065, and my website is AlexAnsari.com. We've been talking about Gaza for most of the first hour. Rick just called in with his thoughts on the world at large, the white supremacist movement existing beyond the KKK, going back into time. I've seen the same type of thing before in the past. Now we see it in movies. We see it in video games. And some of us cry out in the darkness when we think about the future ahead, the children of the next generation that's walking into this world being brainwashed. We are like operating systems. Our minds can be easily controlled, easily influenced by all these different things out there. It's our goal to learn how to walk the path in this universe, keeping our minds clear from other influences, insusceptible, if you will, to some of the belief systems out there and perspectives that can really do us and others harm. It's through belief systems, through narrow, shallow ways of looking at the world that is the gasoline that continues to get poured on the fire that is still burning within the collective mind of humanity today, that insanity, that fire, that burning insanity. Not passion, not something special or something that can get us out of that, but that insane fire that's burning within our species that feeds on illusionary belief systems about who we are, who others are, delusions about the walls that separate us all. My best advice is to wake yourself up. That's about all I can say at this point. Problem is, I really don't know how to do that. And I can't tell you how to do that. Because you got to figure that out on your own. And that's probably the most honest thing I can say right now, because I'd like to be able to say everything that needs to be said, go through this next year with no regrets, and continue to try to inspire people and report on the latest developments taking place with the economy, taking place with the war, and this ongoing attack on the common people on a global scale. But I'm hoping for that extra epiphany that makes things, everything clear even to me. The things that aren't fully clear right now about the future, about the present, about even the past itself. Pondering the economy. $1 billion bailouts. $1 trillion bailouts. Taking a look at everything that's been going on for some time. The level of debt is just so astronomical. It's so outrageous to the point where people's minds can't even, many people's minds, keep up with how bad it really is. Here's a recent report that has been prepared by the CRS, the Congressional Research Service. They have determined that the total value of the bailouts undertaken by the federal government in 2008 now exceeds the combined cost of every major war the United States has ever engaged in, according to a comparison of wars of war costs calculated by the, again, Congressional Research Service, and the value of the bailouts is calculated by the Bloomberg News or Bianco Research. They're talking about all major U.S. wars, including such events as the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War One and World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. All that cost a total of $7.2 trillion in inflation-adjusted 2008 dollars. According to Bloomberg, the federal government has made commitments worth a total of $8.5 trillion in the bailouts of 2008. That includes actual expenditures as well as loan and asset guarantees. The $296 billion spent on World War II, America's most expensive war, would be $4.1 trillion adjusted to today's dollars, according to the CRS report from June. The adjusted cost of the Civil War would be $60.4 billion for both the Union and the Confederacy combined. The inflation-adjusted cost of the Vietnam War would be $686 billion. The cost of the current Iraq War, up to last June, was $648 billion. While the adjusted cost for Afghanistan to that point was $171 billion. The total cost of the American Revolution was a relatively inexpensive $1.8 billion. It's about as much as this report that I can actually get into. It's more dollars and nonsense, less dollars and cents, and dollars and nonsense as the dollar free falls. People think that we can still continue to run the economy through a printing press. In the next report, we are seeing analysts predict 40% unemployment, no recovery until 2015. 2008 was a nasty year. A lot of things imploded. Things are far from being repaired. Treasury Secretary Paulson said to the American people this week that there are no more surprises, which tells many of us that he hasn't even discovered but a small portion of this monster derivative mess. His ripping off the taxpayers to the tune of $700 billion or $9 trillion is only a warm-up. However, the larger question for traders and investors is what can happen next and when. In the following report, we take a look at the key global economic points and suggest the outcome for 2009. Some of the predictions that are being made on the comingdepression.blogspot.com, where they have posted this particular article, which was originally posted from webeatthestreet.com, they make a couple forecasts for the upcoming year. During the spring of next year, we believe we're going to see a second larger wave of residential housing mortgage failures, the first big wave of auto loan failures and repossessions. In other words, if you're out of work, go get a job as a repo man. If you can't get a job as a cop, or if you don't want to, or if you don't want to go in the military, go get a job as a tow truck driver. But there'll be a lot of people hiring there. Repos, you know, things of that nature. Maybe getting a job as a bill collector on the phone. All right, we're on editing right now. Now it's getting up. Hopefully by the end of the night, that's just my latest thoughts on the world at large, all these different things going on. Again, it is the second hour of Outside the Box. I am your humble host, Alex Santry, with you on OracleBroadcasting.com, Justin.tv/AlexSantry, and of course, AlexSantry.com, where all the news and information is. And we talked about Gaza in the first hour, and there is a lot of other things going on as well, like Blackwater guards on trial pleading not guilty to a murder of a bunch of civilians and Iraqis earlier this year. And we're also seeing other reports of bank robberies. We spent a lot of time a couple weeks ago talking about the Woodburn bank bombings. We're seeing this stuff pop up in New York. We're seeing stuff in Portland, all throughout the nation. It's a sign of the times. And also a lot more people are going to feel justified, or at least in their own mind, justified in robbing a bank when they see these trillion-dollar bailouts continue with no one in Congress or in the new administration stopping the bankers in their tracks from looting the American economy. They're doing it with quite a bit of help from both the Republicans and the Democrats. U.S. steel industry is in a state of collapse. Depression in Detroit, tent cities popping up across the United States, and a budget crisis in California could lead to IOUs when it comes to income taxes. And, of course, China is saying that lending to the United States will not go on forever. And have I mentioned that the Chinese Construction Bank, as well as a couple other Chinese banks, are setting up shop in the wonderful city of Manhattan. Very intense information. Here I am in 2009 getting ready for a wonderful, wonderful new year. All the challenges that are embedded within that. Just remember, you might feel overwhelmed. There's certainly a lot more revelations that are going to be coming out in the next couple weeks. More information for us to talk about. We're plotting the course of the enemy's attack on we, the common people. With this information, you can come to your own solutions as to what you do. You're in a different city than I, a different country perhaps, a different state. Or there are maybe, perhaps, people living in Portland listening to the show. And if you're listening in Portland, we'll be at the Fireside Coffee Shop at 5 o'clock tonight off Milwaukee and Powell Boulevard. For those that aren't, I recommend. Part of the solution is getting out, making itself available to others that want to find the others, literally. We can only spend so much time trying to, you know, convince our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our mates. And that is so very draining. That is so very draining on not only your body, but your psyche when that becomes more important than you yourself evolving. We have to take care of ourselves, and part of that means being responsible for ourselves, pushing ourselves on a regular basis, daily, weekly basis to reach the next level instead of just being concerned about everybody else. What do we have to do for ourselves? So that's the question I pose. And having said that, this next report isn't going to be any surprise. Okay, we're not a society as a whole that's looking within for the answers. We're looking outside of ourselves for answers and outside of ourselves for entertainment, for pleasure. And while it doesn't have to be a typical narcotic or drug, there are other things that people use to distract themselves from reality, to medicate themselves, to provide themselves with another distraction, make them feel that they're fighting for something. And that's the wonderful world of violent video games. Well, that's one industry that's currently experiencing a record high level of sales, the video game industry. Now, it's also a time where we're seeing video game giants axing 500 jobs, Sony to cut plants and 8,000 jobs, things of that nature, but sales are still up because more people are plugging into the matrix, into the machine, for better or for worse, as we move further and further into this brave new world. It's in fact already here. Sales of video games in the UK hit an all-time high of 82.8 million in 2008. Figures from the industry trade body show. 23% more than the previous year and more than double the total earnings over the past 5 years. The report also suggests that video games from the Nintendo Wii game system made up almost a quarter of all software sales. That was an increase of 112% on the previous year. Now, numbers aside, their new little gaming device, their console, is going to be used by the military for some of their robotic army projects, believe it or not. So they're going to be taking the kids, putting them in the military that already have the experience of working with the machine in a video game setting and applying it to a real-life scenario, a real-life setting. We do have a caller. When we get done with that call, we are going to continue our conversation about video games. Here is another report that is on alexsansary.com that you may find interesting. Military hoping chatbots will replace deployed parents, and I think that headline pretty much says it all. But for now, let's go to our phone call waiting on hold. Good afternoon. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Alex, buddy. My name is Kurt, and I'm calling from Massachusetts.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
I just wanted to comment. You talk about the video games, and I read back about a week ago, it was on Google News, that Disney's buying EA Sports. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
No, I'm not. I can look it up right now. How is that significant? Let's get that report up right now.
Off the top of my head, I was going to call in earlier about, like, Rick Simpson, the hemp oil and all that, but this is more interesting, like, right this second. Because Disney with all the cultic and Freemasons and all that good stuff, and then EA Sports being EA, like, Earth, Heart, you know, like, the whole, I don't know if I'm right with the whole Anunnaki and the ancient astronauts, you know, EA was very prominent in the whole hybridization and all that good stuff and all the good stories there. But I just figured you on the video games, violent video games, and you got Disney buying EA Sports, which is like a mega merge of just craziness.
Yeah, and I'm sure Freeman has an opinion on that, guaranteed. So you should ask him that question if you're listening on Saturday. But, I typed up Disney and EA into Google News, and I see a couple different reports on that. Disney is definitely a whole creepy, creepy corporation with a very shady history. I know some of it. I've definitely entertained myself quite a bit watching some of their videos that people have flagged, put up on YouTube with sex written the side of the screen and other bizarre things, encouraging, you know, kids at a younger and younger age to think about sex and obsession with physical beauty, things of that nature, Beauty and the Beast, and Princess Charming taking away all your problems and saving you as in Cinderella. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's just right there. You know, the subliminal is right. I mean, I see them like 3D. Like, they just pop out to me. But it's just, it's the whole cultism of it. It's just, you know, it's hidden in plain sight. And then buying EA Sports just, I don't know, I'm just connecting the whole EA. Like, I wonder if that's like a kind of a hint, you know, or a clue to let us know, too, you know, about the how it's connected to the old, you know, like the I don't even know what the word would be or the phrase, but like the international theory, you know, like it's just right there in front of your face, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. What are your thoughts on digital TV? This is somewhat related. I get a lot of questions myself as to what type of subliminals or what kind of mind control apparatus might be included in the digital TV program, or how many things may be involved in this, from tracking and tracing what you're watching and putting that, attaching that to your psychological profile, to listening to what's going on in the background, to as far as a perfection of the subliminal subliminal advertising medium, perfecting that a little bit more. I'm wondering, because I'm seeing that the government wants to subsidize and put out yeah, the digital TV, they are run out of program. The subsidiary program is run out of money. They set aside $8 billion to have everybody with these new boxes because they want to make sure we keep watching TV. You know, like corporations like Disney, as you're mentioning, and the other big ones. And they're apparently run out of money right now, but they'll still find a way to get the converters in the houses.
Yeah, digital cable scares me. I don't have cable. I just have internet. I don't watch TV. I mean, with the whole tracking and knowing what you want to watch and the subsidized, like, up to 80% of the cost, like $8 billion, you said, or something like that. Like, it's just scary, like, how they're, like, the government wants to put these in your house. It's not like a company. It's like they're, you know, paying up the wazoo to get these digital TVs in your house. Like, why would they put so much effort and so much money into us watching better, you know, quality cable, you know? Just kind of, I don't know, it scares the hell out of me, I'll be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, well, a guy known as Clyde Lewis does a weekly show here in Portland, and he puts it up on the web, and it's kind of like at a lounge, so sometimes it's filmed, most of the time it's just audio up on adeocast.com, I believe, and he talked about this for about an hour, and they have like a central computer, database computer called the Mantis, which controls the Pentagon channel. And, I mean, there is some really creepy stuff out there that's involved in tracking and tracing what people watch. I myself don't have a TV, but I already know I'm being tracked and traced by where I am on the internet. That's nothing new. And they've been doing that for a long time with cell phones. So for a lot of people, they're not going to be alarmed by this any longer. They're now used to the cameras. They're used to, a friend came to visit me from Australia and she had to give her whole handprint. And so people are just getting used to that, and that's
even scarier.
They're all worried about the economy now. That's why they're getting used to it, and they're worried about the economy. It's like a big issue's been replaced by an even bigger issue.
Yeah, I wanted to call you early. I tried to call him, but I guess there's a time delay. Like, I listened to on air on internet, and I called, and it was just a couple of seconds ahead on the phone. So, but I called you earlier about hemp oil and the Rich Simpson story, and that kind of connects to the whole economy and the food crisis or food shortages and all that. And, I got so much on my mind. I mean, we could talk for hours, but when you got onto the video games and the violence, it's just like Disney buying EA, and, you know, it's just too much. And then digital TV, and they're subsidizing it, you know, 80% or $8 billion is too much. They definitely got a plan, and they're going through with it.
My mother never bought me a video game system when I was younger, and I didn't whine too much, but I wanted to have, you know, a Nintendo like everybody else when it's, you know, the mid-1980s, and people have graduated from the Ataris, and it's time for the Segas, and it's time for the Nintendo, and, you know, it was always interesting how Sega and Nintendo would also release something at the same time. And now it's still Nintendo, but Sega is not the name we hear so much. It's Xbox, or I don't even know all the different systems. The names have changed, but you still have video game systems being released at the same time, which kind of adds to that whole, oh, I got to have this system, or I got to have this system, or, you know what I mean? So people end up sometimes getting two systems. They can play both types of games. It seems like there's a war going on between the video game industries, and sometimes if you wonder if it's the same thing in the end. It looks like there's two different corporations. But, yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh. Yeah. It's just to give you more choices to you know pin the competition against each other, and one person wins. You know, like we lose. You know, it's like, but we think we have choices, and it's just, you know, it's just I don't know. It's too much.
It is. It is. Well, I want to thank you for your call. Is there anything else you want to go into?
Alex, just thanks for taking my call, buddy. You're doing a great job. Oracle is doing great. And I'm calling. It's my first time calling to Oracle. I've been, you know, just listening so long, and just I just feel like I need to be activated. And I'm just, thanks for taking my call, buddy. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. And call back again and check out some of the other shows. I was listening to some other shows the other day. I don't have time to listen to a lot of shows, but I actually listened to portions of 7 different shows. Freedom Underground Radio, OracleBroadcasting.com, and Republic Broadcasting. I was listening to a little of each. And I'm actually going to talk about that when we come back, some of the shows I liked and some of them that had me a little bit confused. We'll be back in a few.
History will always remember those strong voices. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Kissinger calling for a one world order. Henry Kissinger calling for Obama to create that one world order, the same one world order that Kissinger has been working towards for some time now. He's also been a close friend of Zbigniew Brzezinski for a long period of time, and this is actually nothing new. This is a part of the official record. So at this time, I'm going to be getting that clip ready to go. I also want to let you know what our telephone number is if you would like to join the broadcast. And be one of the many callers to OracleBroadcasting.com that are finding this station at this time. Again, there are more affiliates interested, low-power FMs, all throughout the United States interested in OracleBroadcasting.com. If you're listening to this and you'd like to be an affiliate, you can do that by emailing Oracle Broadcasting. There's information at the website. You can also contact me personally at alex_answering@hotmail.com if you would like to help this particular broadcast or the website itself. Toll-free line, 866-841-1065, 512-904-8014. And now at this point, I'm going to be shuffling over live on the air, being the single guy behind the control command center right here. I'm going to be moving a couple files over so I can get that audio clip on the show. I will say in reflection, as I'm doing this, that it's been an interesting couple of years, talking about 9/11 being an inside job. talking about the surveillance society and all of these other things going on. And now it is the time to inspire people to get ready to, you know, be prepared to think about their kids, to think about their wife or their husband, whatever the case may be, or to think about their neighbors, people around them, if they don't have a family, to be thinking about the real life challenges that we all face together, living together in this new world order system that Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and many others would love to see us and our kids grow up in. With that, we're going to go ahead and bring you Henry Kissinger calling for blood all around the world, I guess. If you actually understand what the new world order is, that's exactly what he's calling for. But then again, some people are going to hear this and they're going to go, oh, but we need a new world order because, you know, the old world sucks and Bush sucks and the United States sucks and we need a new world order and we love China and Russia and we want them to come and save us from the evil Americans. Oh, somebody, please come and save us from the evil Americans. So we want UN troops here in the United States. Oh, we want foreign troops. And, of course, people are going to be begging for that type of control. Yes, control, not liberation, but enslavement when the crime rate is so extreme the local police forces can actually deal with the wave of violence. And, you know, in my opinion, many men, to a certain degree, are castrated. It's almost as if they've had their genitalia removed from their body and devoured by the elite themselves. People don't even know how to defend themselves or their loved ones, people that just know how to dial 911. We've seen that sign before at certain restaurants and establishments. We don't dial 911 around here. But what do you do when nobody can dial 911 because the grid is down? That's something that none of us have ever, most of us, never been through. But some of us are anticipating, not with pleasure or looking forward to it, but anticipating the sense that we're getting prepared for it, in the sense that we are not planning to be caught off guard, because we know what the new world order is. We know that it involves breaking down the economy, and that happens. There will be more crime. There will be foreign troops after that. It continues, it continues, it continues. So now we can see a new world coming into view. So here I present to you Kissinger talking on MSNBC about Obama and the need for Obama to bring us a new world order system.
China relations, which of course are made possible by the hard work that Secretary Kissinger while serving under President Nixon. We welcome you, sir. Thank you very much for being with us. The obvious first question is the situation in Gaza. This is the world you have worked very hard on. What is your view? How serious is this?
We have to remember, Israel withdrew from Gaza unconditionally in 2005. And they are reacting to rocket attacks that have been known out of Gaza. So the problem is, can those rocket attacks be stopped? And then they will have to stop their military operations. So it's a complicated situation, but it's one that I believe will be solved. Because if peace is to evolve in the Middle East, Israel has to take its responsibility, but the smartest Arab nations have to take responsibility for the conduct of Israel's neighbors.
Do you believe that this is, some people say that everything will stop 2 days before the Obama inauguration, that this is all very politically motivated?
I think it's a continuing process. The fundamental problem is, can Gaza conduct itself in a way that it is not a military threat to Israel? Then there will have to be a negotiation eventually, and soon, between Israel and the Palestinians about an overall peace settlement.
What do you think the most important thing is for Barack Obama? Obviously, you're here to talk about the anniversary for U.S.-China diplomatic relations, but if you had to say this is going to be the country or the conflict or the place that will define the Obama administration, what would it be?
The president-elect is coming to office at a moment when there are upheavals in many parts of the world.
You don't say.
India, Pakistan, that you have jihadist movement. So he can't really say that it's one prophet that it's the most important one. But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
Are you confident about the people President-elect Obama has chosen to surround him, because he does not have a great deal of experience?
No, he has appointed an extraordinarily able group of people in both the international and financial field.
Mr. Secretary, we thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yes. All right, we will be back in just a few. 866-841-1065. What do you think? You think we can squeeze one more caller through here? Like actually three calls? Three calls for the day instead of two? I think so. I think we can do that. Oh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are now in the second hour with a half hour left on the show. 866-841-1065. And in conclusion here, I had intended to go over a couple things. More Oregon soldiers heading to Iraq. Let me at least make sure that I report on that. And, of course, our troops are wary of Barack Obama being the new president in the United States when he has announced 20,000 more troops to be dispatched to Afghanistan. Military hoping chatbots will replace deployed parents. Now, this is a bizarre one. It is a bizarre one, but it's more of the same old hearing about technology being integrated into our lives more and more. But here it is being announced as something that can help the parents while they are away sacrificing their blood for the multinational, international corporations. Headline reading from InformationWeek.com. Military hoping chatbots will replace deployed parents. While Skype or similar teleconferencing technologies might seem like a more cost-effective and immediately available solution, the Defense Department actually rejects that possibility. They're looking to develop virtual parents to comfort children when mom and dad on active duty aren't available to talk. And do I have to remind you that there's also reports about the divorce rates exploding also when it comes to couples that are in the armed forces, whether it's either one or both? We are seeing record numbers of people getting divorced that are in the military. Things like that are bound to happen, though, and it's not surprising. It's sad, but perhaps it needs to happen for some people to wake up. Perhaps they won't wake up and they'll just continue drinking themselves to sleep. And so this is what we're starting to see the Department of Defense propose to deal with the next generation of children. They will have no parents. Their parents will be the state. Their state parents will pretend to be like their real parents, when in reality they will be socially engineering children to be the warriors in the future, controlling the robotic army instead of milk and cookies. A nice song at the end at the end of the night. They'll be encouraged to play another video game when they're fighting just like their parents, doing their patriotic duty. Maybe it could be a Call of Duty World at War type 14. It's the year 2010. The Chinese invaders are entering the United States. You're there fighting the Russians. Yes, you're fighting the Russians. I hear about this stuff all the time. People playing the video games. Like, I'm fighting the Russians. I'm fighting the Chinese. They're fighting the wars of the future. You can find this website under the technology section of alexhansery.com. The military is seeking to develop a highly interactive PC or web-based application to allow family members to verbally interact with virtual renditions of deployed service members. The child should be able to have a simulated conversation with the parent about generic everyday topics, the military says. For instance, a child might get a response from saying, I love you, or I miss you, or good night, mommy and daddy. This is a technologically challenging application because it relies on the ability to have convincing voice recognition, artificial intelligence, and the ability to easily and inexpensively develop a customized application tailored to a specific parent. Now, I know you have a thought about this. I know you're being triggered on an emotional level from hearing this report. I know that the wheels in your head are turning, as they are mine. The report goes on to creep us out just a little bit further when it says that while Skype or similar technologies might seem like a more cost-effective or immediately available solution, the Department of Defense has rejected that possibility. In a blog post, Catherine Caldwell Harris, Associate Professor of Psychology at Boston University, suggests the project would make a great background story for a dystopian novel, confessing that she is skeptical of the utility of the AI program, which mimics parental dialogue. She asked the question, is there any evidence that children aged 3 to 5 will understand that the avatar on the screen is supposed to be their parent? I wouldn't envy the job of a mother who has to train her 3-year-old to comprehend this. She also added that, in a phone interview, that you can rapidly speculate how this could be very damaging for children. So this is right along with the indoctrination of our youth to merge with the machine. It's transhumanism. Maybe what's missing from this whole thing is a microchip implanted in not only their arm, but their head. That way they can constantly be communicating with that avatar. Now to jump into another subject, but also a similar subject, because it deals with still the insanity of the future and also the people that are promoting the propaganda for the military police state. We have an article here entitled Pat Robertson's Thoughts on 2009, and I'd like to play some of this, if I can, in the next segment. Pat Robertson is a Fruit Loop. Pat Robertson has accurately predicted things that have ended up coming true in the past. And, you know, I'm sure God has spoken to him as well. I think he said this, that Obama is of the Lord, just like Bush was of the Lord. So the question is, what does that tell you? And are the people that are fond of Barack Hussein Obama, the Messiah, are they actually, in fact, aware of this detail? So I'm not entirely sure if you can hear this, but we're going to try in the next segment to play part of this over the air. Whether we have to do it through my headphones or whether I actually get a decent recording, we're going to try to play some of this in the next segment. Now, I've mentioned the numbers before to call in. You can also write down those numbers and place that next to your flat screen monitor or your laptop. Just save that on your desktop. Numbers for Oracle Broadcasting. So if I don't mention them, you have the numbers in your computer saved, and those are 866-841-1065. I know you were just waiting for me to repeat that number again. And, of course, there is 512-904-8014. I'm Alex Hansrick. You're listening to Outside the Box at OracleBroadcasting.com and AlexHansrick.com and Justin.tv/AlexHansrick.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
You know, I'm taking a look at Pat Robertson right now. Really, really insane thing. So it's going to be interesting to see where exactly he's going with all this. I mean, he's talking about hyperinflation that's you know, going to be happening to our country in the near future. 1940s, talks about 1930s Germany being a lot like this. And I'm going to go ahead and try to play some of this, and we'll take a look at it. I don't know how much I got from the first 4 minutes, but I am working on getting that right now. A couple of things that I know ought to be mentioned. Again, I talked about Russian warships And, of course, their nuclear bombers, they're going to be extending their patrols around the planet. So we see this both with ships and with jets, and they're building China's aircraft carriers for them in preparations for something in the future. I'm sure it's nothing. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. America loves you. America is educating you, and the media is keeping you informed of all the things you need to be informed about. Go back to sleep, America. Please spread your cheeks far and wide, because we are about to get raped yet again. And we tend to forget basic things, like the fact that, you know, it was the Great Depression that happened before World War II. In other words, World War II pulled the country out of the Great Depression. And what are we going to do now? We know the RAND Corporation wants to see us get involved in another conflict so they can boost the economy of the United States, of the line of pockets of the Western bankers that are engineering many of the wars. But they're not going to be able to do that. They can't borrow money from China forever, and China is not going to finance the United States to go to war against itself. It would be a dirty war that would be fought right here in our own country, and it's going to be a scary time for a lot of people, can I say. So here we are, wrapping up the last couple of minutes. We do not have a phone call, so we are going to go ahead and play that clip right about now, and we will be back in just a couple minutes.
Major crash would be in 2009, but we had a much...
And we want to...
I thought, as I was praying...
And I'll be standing by for commentary.
...would be in 2009, but we had a much more severe crash. I said it would be a crash, and it happened.
It happened.
To
take the experts.
I told you. I told you it happened.
And also, I said gold would hit $1,000.
I said it would happen. I have a track record.
147.40 or something.
Look at me. Look at my Masonic talk. Yeah.
But,
I told you.
I pray. Speak with humility.
I'll pray you the devil.
This is going to happen. So I have a few things about the coming year.
You go away to the mountain. You get away from all of us.
If you'd like to call in, I'll let you on right now. And you can talk along with Robertson. Call right now, and I'll just let you on the air. I'll take you off mute. Just call. Somebody call. Just start. Talk to Robertson.
So here
feel like a mock
are
interview.
Some of the things that I feel are going to be happening in 2009.
I see it.
The Lord said
I see blood.
The economy of your nation will recover. The steps taken will lead to a dramatic increase in the power of government. The people will welcome socialism in order to relieve their pain. Nothing will stand in the way of a plan by Obama to restructure the economy in the same fashion as the New Deal in the 30s. America will never again have the power in the world that it has enjoyed since World War II. With no strong leadership, dangerous dictators will arise in various parts of the world that will threaten the peace and security of millions of people. Russia will be the most dangerous and will lead the coalition to control the Middle East. Israel is entering a period of extreme crisis. A strong government that deals forcefully with the Palestinians will bring international condemnation and sanctions against Israel. But the Lord will uphold his people despite world opinion. The hold of Islam is weakening. The violence and bloodshed has turned more against this religion. And the Lord said, expand your outreach to Muslims. They are ready to listen. Great and cataclysmic things will become commonplace around the world.
Lions and tigers and bears
will be widespread. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a more propitious time for the gospel. People by the tens of millions will be seeking answers. They will gladly receive the forgiveness of sins that was bought by the death of Jesus Christ.
It was really a time of wonderful prayer as we head into the new year. Were you surprised by any of the things that you felt God spoke to you?
It totally flies in the face of what all the experts are saying.
Yes, but I didn't like the way you was touching me.
It's
going to get worse, touching
me. It's going to be terrible. And
I had this fire around his hands.
He
kept saying I was going to burn later on.
I
went to hell.
I don't have it nailed down, but I would think certainly
by the beginning of the second quarter of next year, we're going to see some things happening. I think the stock market's going to turn around almost immediately.
That's what Pat Robertson's God told him.
Are we trading recession for superinflation?
Yes. It won't happen, you know, boom, boom. It'll take a while. But we're flooding the world with and the Lord said the dollar is going to go down dramatically. And when all this happens, we will begin to have what's known as hyperinflation. And if I'm hearing him right, gold would go to about $1,900 an ounce,
wow,
and oil $300 a barrel.
Man, this guy's been reading too much conspiracy website stuff.
Just put together a coalition in the Middle East to try to gain control of the oil. And I think the time of the prophecy
he's been on AlexAntry.com
is at hand.
Well, talk about hyperinflation and what that would mean to people. You talked about socialism and people being willing to accept that because of the pain of what happens.
Then it goes on and on and on. I highly recommend you take a look at it. That is all the time Pat Robertson has for us. Thank you, Pat Robertson, for being a guest on Outside the Box. We will see you in hell. And for anyone that is interested, he's going to be having a live sacrifice of babies from Gaza and Afghanistan and Iraq. It's going to be a big cannibalistic feast at his house. It's bring your own booze, though. Bring your own booze. Bring your own S&M whips. Bring your own chains. Party at Pat's place. It's going to be really, really messed up. And so, yeah, so take a look at that. 2009, Pat Robertson's predictions. Also take a look at the full version of Kissinger talking about Obama and the New World Order. Obama's going to bring the New World Order. He's going to bring us all together in the... Where is David Rockefeller, by the way? Where's David Rockefeller when you need the guy to make a big old statement about what's going on? And, you know, all the things manifesting in the world. There's a real good picture of David Rockefeller in... the book, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, written by David Esterlin, and a little caption that Daniel wrote in on the picture of David reads, "It must be lonely at the top as you see David Rockefeller looking at the common people eating from a bowl of soup all alone as he looks at the people with disdain. People, I can tell you." Not drink a stronger game.